prepare yourselves for the brain-stretching conclusion to this Bible-centric message. TheSpeakingDeacon.com. Truth is here.
That's where Christ meets us, the broken people, the ones who says, "Have pity on me, God, for I'm a sinner." And your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and He will lift you up. That's the path to God right there. So, and I got some quotes here. Some really fun quotes. "Every time a thought of superiority or vanity moves on you, examine your conscience to see if you've kept all the commandments." That's a nice sobering thought. Here's something from Ignatius. "It is impossible for a man to be freed from the habit of sin before he hates it. Just as it is impossible to receive forgiveness before confessing his trespass." I'm going to unpack that a little more in a minute too. And then, "Either sin is with you, lying on your shoulders, or it is lying on Christ, the Lamb of God. Now, if it is lying on your back, you are lost. But if it is resting on Christ, you are free and you will be saved. Now choose what you want." That was Martin Luther. William Booth said, who's the founder of the Salvation Army, he said, "I consider the chief dangers which confront the coming century to be religion without the Holy Spirit, Christianity without Christ, forgiveness without repentance, and salvation without regeneration, politics without God, and heaven without hell." How many churches or how many pastors or preachers you might hear on the radio, don't mention hell. Don't tell anyone, hey, you don't have to go to hell. That's just not cool. You can't preach heaven without preaching hell. You can't preach one without the other, because Jesus is in the middle of all that. And of course, and one other one from an American humorist, Josh Billings, said this: "Most people repent of their sins by thanking God they ain't so wicked as their neighbors." Let's keep moving here. So now let's talk about judging a bit. James chapter 4, 11 and 12. "Brothers, do not slander one another. Anyone who speaks against his brother or judges him speaks against the law and judges it. When you judge the law, you are not keeping it, but sitting in judgment on it. There is only one lawgiver and judge, the one who is able to save and destroy. But you, who are you to judge your neighbor?" Christians talking to Christians here, back off your Christian family. You don't know what's going on in that situation. Be very careful to say, "Man, they did it again. They must not be Christians because they did that again." We got to be careful. There's only one judge, and it's God. So it is not our job. And when it says brothers do not slander, the real term is talk against. Do not make these judgments like you see something in your brother or sister in Christ. It's not our job to say, "Yeah, bunch of losers." Especially our brothers and sisters in Christ. We need to encourage one another, because that's where it happens. So, but I want to talk about a trap. Because I think Pawpaw Bible Church does a great job encouraging one another. We all just know each other too well that if anyone was doing this, we would know and we'd go after you. Okay, so let's get moving on. I certainly would. So, but let me move on to the other one, the stop judging me trap. What those verses did not mean is a person number one saying, "Ha ha, you can't say anything about my life or my sin because that's judging. Ha ha, you can't judge me. Stop judging me," is the nice whiny thing I like to use. Bad judging does not mean to observe the obvious, because we all battle with sins. And if someone comes up to me, a brother or sister in Christ, and says, "Hey, how you doing in this area?" That's different. See, that person, that brother or sister in Christ who cares, made an observation and approached me on it. Not to condemn, but to reconcile, to heal. That's huge. That's a difference. We need that. That's called fellowship. Accountability. That's a huge one. In America? Accountability? Come on. We so need that. But the trap is to say, you know, as soon as someone approaches you saying, I've noticed this behavior, what's going on? You are not allowed to say, stop judging me! Because they're not. They are judging you. They've made a judgment. They've made an observation. But they're not God. They didn't say, I've noticed because you're doing this, you're going to hell. Would you tell me why? They obviously, no Christian can say that to another Christian. There's no authority there. But a Christian can go up to another Christian and say, what's going on? I've observed these behaviors. What's the meaning behind it? Every Christian is allowed to ask that to every other Christian. Now that's where we all get awkward here. Oh, well, I don't really want to tell you. Right? Why don't you just mind your business? So that's the real battle, is we cannot, as Christians, put up the stop judging me flag. We can't do it. Our brothers and sisters are allowed to ask that. And of course, the verses I'm going to pull are James chapter 5, verses 19 and 20. My brothers, if one of you... Oh, I'm jumping to James chapter 5 to give you... So we're given just a view of what's coming up next week. It says, my brothers, if one of you should wander from the truth and someone should bring him back, remember this, whoever turns a sinner from the error of his ways will save him from death and cover over a multitude of sin. You see, obviously, we are to make judgment and reach out. Or how else are we able to save a sinner, to talk to the sinner and help change their ways that they would love Jesus again? We are called to do that. That is fellowship. And we can't use the stop judging me trap. We can't use it on Christians. And here, now, I'm going to give you the technique. Ready? This is the cool stuff. The solution. I call it... Thrice and dice. Three steps. And get ready. Here it is. It doesn't matter what the sin is. And because this is what I used this week on the people proclaiming homosexuality isn't bad. And here's what I used on them. This is what I watered it down to after I, you know, looked after the fact. Is one, their argument was, you can't judge. Who are you? You're a bully. Blah, 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 blah. Right. Irrelevant. So let's go right back to the top again. One, my opinion doesn't matter. My opinion about this sin doesn't matter. Two, your opinion on this behavior doesn't matter. That's the key. That's key, because what they're going to say is, your opinion doesn't matter, but mine's okay. And that's what they're going to say to you. But the truth is, my opinion doesn't matter. Your opinion doesn't matter. That's the 1-2 punch, right? You've just deflected one. Bam! Right? The subjectivism. You're blocking subjectivisms. Ninja block! Then, and when you say your opinion doesn't matter, what's key here is you can't justify what you're doing. If I can't say what you're doing is wrong, you can't say what you're doing is right. Bam! Bam! You're blocking it. Point three, what does God say? Because that's all that matters. So, if this red hymnal was really a Bible, how's that for an illustration? You block away your opinion. You're right, buddy. My opinion doesn't matter. And you know what? Neither does yours. What does the Bible say? Let's open it and see. And of course, whatever the sin is, do your homework. Know what sin it is that they're proclaiming is okay. Get it ready. And then take them to it. And then ask them, will you repent? Who is your God? Are you your God? Did you make up your own rules? And they might say, well, you're religious. You know what you can say back to them? You're religious. You made up your own religion. You picked and chose what you wanted off from the TV and popular opinion, and whatever the government says is okay is no longer immoral. And you've made your own religion. You're just as religious as me. The difference is yours is homemade and mine is from God, which has never changed. And that's the two choices people have in this world. That's the only two choices. Either they're God or God is God. You got it? Thrice and dice. The dice is the sword of the Lord. Impale them with it. And let them writhe in pain. And let them deal with it between them and God. Because on the last day that may save them from hell. Thrice and dice, baby. That's it. That's my commercial. All right, y'all got that? Did I put that in your bulletin so you have that? The three steps? Practice those. Practice those. It'll work every time. Let me know if it doesn't work. All right? It should work every time. Thrice and dice. Because you got to get through the subjectivism and you got to get to the scripture. And then it's between them and God. It's not between you and them. It's never between you and them. It's always between them and God. Got it? And that brings me to a story. One kid I used to minister to, he's in his 20s now, and he's getting into yoga. Not just a couple stretches, bang, he's getting into yoga. The whole thing. With all their spirituality and their demon worship, and it is demon worship. It is evil to the core. So be careful if you're just doing some good old Christian yoga, because the whole basis of it is demon worship. And I am not just saying, hey, it could be bad. It is evil. And this guy's saying, yeah, but it makes me feel better, and I got the barakas in me all lined up, and you know, whatever those terms are called. I forget. And I said, dude, aren't you a Christian? That crap is evil, is what I told him. And his argument to me was, if it helps my life, you can't call it bad. Stop being biased and judgmental. And so, you know, first my answer was to him was, anything but Jesus Christ, dude. Remember, the devil, it's anything but Jesus Christ or Jesus Christ plus something else. That's all the enemy has to do, is anything but Jesus. Of course the devil wants him to have a happy, great life. Stay away from Jesus, you're good to go, and the devil wins. So what do you do? Thrice and dice. That's what you do. My opinion doesn't matter on the topic of yoga, and guess what? Yours doesn't either. What does the scripture say about it? You know who Brahm is? Brahm is the great oneness, and if you get your mind empty enough and give him your soul, one day you'll be with him in big, empty oneness nothingness. There is nothing Christ or God in any of that. That is demon worship, plain and simple. That's not my opinion. That's what the Bible teaches. Avoid that stuff. Thrice and dice. Got it? Thrice and dice. So here's the irony. We're almost done. Here's an irony. Is Christians are accused of judging and being arrogant. Because we, you know, I'll tell you why. Yet it's the world that makes up their own morality and religious rules. They claim they know better than God and claim to be a God. When you make your own rules, you are your own God. Christians point to the Bible. What does the Bible say? God makes the laws and we are to obey them. We conform, we repent. We forfeit our pseudo-rights, false rights, because we really don't have any rights, and allow God to draw the line. And this will always be the last question you can bring to your friends and neighbors. Who is your God? You or God? Thrice and dice. And then take them here, because it's going to be the Bible versus their opinion. And that's where it'll always end up. And if they decide to blow off the Bible, they are their own God. But isn't it arrogant that it's kind of ironic that they'll call Christians arrogant, because we say, that's evil. That's evil. Yeah, that you can't do that. That's evil. This is good. This is bad. Who are you to say and impose your... It's not my stuff, buddy. Not my opinion, not your opinion, it's God's command. Got it? All right, I think I drilled that home plenty. We're going to have a test next week. So, where does your heart put its priorities? James 4:13-16. Says, now listen, you who say today or tomorrow we will go into this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business and make money. Why, you don't even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast and brag. All such boasting is evil. And that's key. First, I want to highlight just a few things. What is your life? Psalms 103, 15 and 16 says, "As for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field. The wind blows over it, and it is gone. And in its place remembers it no more." Isaiah 46 through 8 says, "A voice says, 'Cry out,' and I said, 'What shall I cry? All men are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, because the breath of the Lord blows on them. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God stands forever." There's two more verses here, all talking about the same thing. James 1:11 and 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 24 and 25. Same thing. Do a Bible search on that, a word search on men are like grass. There's lots of verses about how quick our lives are and how quick and short they are. Now I want to emphasize, if it's the Lord's will, I believe I put a little test on your bulletin. Yes, I did. You will see. If it's the Lord's will, on a scale from 1 to 10, if God were to tell you, if he were to come down here right out of heaven right now, add that special effect for you, and tell you his will right now, would you do it? Answer there in that space there, 1 to 10. 10, yes, I will do it, Lord. Whatever you say, I will change my life and do it. 1 is like, okay? Write that answer. I can't see. I'm not looking. Because it doesn't matter. My opinion doesn't matter. Did y'all do it? I didn't look. I didn't even look if you took up the effort to pick up a pencil or pen to write that number in there. Maybe you have it in your head. Maybe you just have it in your head. Okay. So here we go. Now, God's will. I want you to take your bulletin, flip it sideways. Oh man, he's doing it again. Flip it sideways. What does it say going across your bulletin? Sideways. Now on a scale from 1 to 10. Ministry. 2.3. That's where it's at, people. Fellowship, ministry, evangelism, discipleship. This lady's ministry, that's the name of the game. That's evangelism/discipleship. That is on the ground, in your face, getting out there, talking to people, right in the mess of things, that they might grow in the Lord. What's your ministry? What's your fellowship? What's going on? On a scale from 1 to 10, how bad do you want it? So one last thought, and then we're going to have communion. Here's something you can use with your friends and neighbors. Are you too good to go to heaven? Humans are so evil that the hardest thing in all the world is to let Jesus forgive us of our sins. The prerequisite for heaven is you must be an evil sinner. The prerequisite for heaven is you must be an evil sinner. If you're not an evil sinner, you don't get to go to heaven. What? Here's the reality. The next step is you must allow Jesus Christ to pay the penalty for your sin. You see, and here's what Martin Luther says, either sin is with you lying on your shoulders, or it is lying on Christ, the Lamb of God. Now, if it is lying on your back, you are lost. But if it is resting on Christ, you are free and you will be saved. Now choose what you want. The hardest thing you're going to get your friends and family to confess and admit to is that they're evil. No one says we're evil. We say we are good, just not perfect. That's what most people say. Then that means you're too good to go to heaven, because the prerequisite is you must be an evil sinner and you must allow Christ to pay for that evil sin. If you're not that bad, then what you're saying is, I don't need Jesus Christ. Wow. And if that's the case, then you're on your own And that's a bad place to be. And of course we have Hebrews 10:29. How much more severely do you think a man deserves to be punished who has trampled the Son of God underfoot and has treated as an unholy thing the blood of the covenant that sanctified him and who has insulted the Spirit of grace? And of course Revelations 20:12 and 15. I'll just give you verse 15. If anyone's name is not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. Okay? That's the stuff you get to give to your friends and neighbors. So give it to them. Once, twice, thrice, and then dice them, and then take them, who's their God, and then ask them if they're too good to go to heaven. Because if they can't admit they're an evil sinner, they're not going to heaven because they don't need a Savior. They are God. They make their own rules and morality, and they will, just when they die, they will just hover into heaven in their own goodness. That will not happen. So before we take communion, I want you to prepare your heart. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, 26 through 29. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats this bread and drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. This is the Lord, the God, God-man, who we serve. We are his slave. He is our God. What he says, we do. In 1 Corinthians 11:28, a man ought to examine himself before he eats of the bread and drinks of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without recognizing the body of the Lord eats and drinks judgment on himself. I usually never refer to these verses when we do communion, but what a great way to start. Where are we at? What's our gumption? For Pawpaw Bible Church and its future down the road depends on how bad the servants of God want to be slaves of Christ and bear the fruit of new believers and growing believers. New believers, growing believers. That's the job of the church. That's why we exist. That's how we glorify God. That's how we love God. And that's how we love our neighbors as ourselves. And that's how we get it done. So as we worship the Lord in communion, prayerfully consider that.
There's some food for thought. Please visit thespeakanddeacon.com and get connected to the growing number of social media Christians. Thespeakanddeacon.com. Truth is here.